This is Dr. Michael Newcomb from the Northwestern University School of Medicine. He's a graduate of University of Illinois at Chicago and part of Dr. Mostanski's team. And he's presenting developmental and racial differences in the association between substance use and HIV risk in MSM in a daily sexual diary study.
Thanks, Brian. I'm going to try to breeze through some of the background since we have covered a lot of it already today so that we can leave a little bit of time for questions. And I do want to point out that I will not be talking so much about the racial differences and really just focus on the developmental differences here, and I'll explain why as I'm walking through. So in terms of a brief overview of what I'll be talking about today, quickly and even more briefly than I thought, I'll be reviewing some of the relevant literature. Then I'll be talking a bit about Project Track, which was a weekly diary study of sexual risk behavior in men who have sex with men. And then I'm going to present two different analyses. So one model looking at the effects of alcohol use prior to sex on sexual risk, and then a second looking at the effects of drug use prior to sex on sexual risk, and specifically looking at developmental differences in each one of those effects. So in terms of the background on substance use and sexual risk, as Brian was mentioning earlier, results are somewhat mixed, especially in terms of the relationship between alcohol use and sexual risk. A lot of this, we think, has to do with the methodology or the way that we're measuring these variables. And event-level studies may provide a more precise estimate of these effects. To quickly illustrate this, this is going to be the wishful thinking portion of my study, or my presentation, and you'll see why in a minute. One way that you can measure this is to ask some very basic global questions, to ask about the average rates of condom use and, say, drinking during a discrete period of time. And when you do that, if you say that I use condoms about half the time and then I drink about half the time before I'm having sex, you might estimate that you have a pretty good correlation between these two variables. But what's really going on is that you could have a lot of different situations playing out if you look at sexual risk occurring at the actual event and mapping substance use onto that specific event. Here's the wishful thinking portion. So if I have sex on four different occasions during the previous week, and I say that I use condoms about half the time, and I drank about half the time, here's one situation where we would really have a perfect correlation between alcohol use and non-condom use. However, it could be the exact opposite effect, that perhaps the drinking events actually map onto my condom use events. So here you would have a perfect negative relationship where drinking is actually a protective factor against sexual risk. So when we look at the literature just focused on event-level studies, alcohol use and sexual risk, looking at event-level studies alone, generally present some pretty small effect sizes, except when we're looking at binge drinking prior to sex. However, as Brian pointed out earlier, and again pointed out in his presentation today, there's some evidence that the positive association between drinking and unprotected sex actually increases across development. Drug use before sex is something that's a much more consistent predictor of sexual risk, especially when we're looking at the club drugs. However, very little is known about developmental differences in these effects. So the data that I'm going to be presenting today comes from Project Track. Project Track was a weekly online prospective diary study of sexual behavior in MSM. We collected data for 12 weeks looking at the previous week, reporting on up to three sexual encounters from that preceding week. And across all diary entries, across all participants, they had about an 84% completion rate of the sexual diaries. All participants in this study were HIV negative or of unknown status between the ages of 16 and 40 at baseline, either single or in non-monogamous relationships, and had reported either oral or anal sex with another man in the 6 months prior to the eligibility screener. And just to point out, because the data presented here is nested within participants over time, all analyses that I'm going to be reporting here were conducted using hierarchical linear modeling. So just to briefly look at some of the participant demographics, I had 143 MSM in the study with a mean age of around 28, but I had a pretty good distribution across the 16 to 40-year-old age range. And in fact, about 10% of my participants were under the age of 18 at the time they completed the eligibility screener. I also specifically sampled trying to get approximately even numbers of white, black, and Latino MSM into the study because one of the main goals of this study was to look at racial differences and the effects of situational predictors of sexual risk on actual sexual risk behavior. I have reported some of those findings elsewhere, even though I will not be reviewing those today. And the majority of the men in this sample were self-identifying as gay, but we had a substantial sub-portion who were either self-identifying as bisexual or who were behaviorally bisexual. The relevant variables that I'll be talking about today, alcohol use prior to sex was a simple count of the number of drinks that they had consumed prior to each one of their sexual encounters. However, drug use prior to sex was a dichotomous variable. So the one equaled use of any of the substances that I've listed here below. So marijuana, cocaine, club drugs, meth or other amphetamines, any drug use or poly drug use. And the club drugs here, I really wanted to split out the cocaine and the meth out of the club drugs. So these other club drugs that I'm referring to are things like GHB, ketamine, and poppers. And the sexual risk variable in these analyses was an unprotected anal or vaginal sex encounter, and a non-risk episode was considered either oral sex with a partner or protected anal or vaginal sex with that partner. So here's just a brief overview of some of the rates of alcohol and drug use prior to sex in the sample. So there was a pretty broad range of alcohol use prior to sex, a mean of about two drinks prior to each sexual episode. And you can see that in general, substance use or drug use prior to sex was quite rare, which has a little bit to do with why I will not be presenting some of the racial differences, because we, with a categorical variable like race, we simply didn't have enough power to look at some of those effects, and the models in HLM, no matter what I tried to do to them, just would not converge. So this is the part where I stop talking about race differences. In terms of developmental differences and overall rates of substance use prior to sex, you can see here that rates of four of the different drugs that I looked at here increased across development or increased with age. So cocaine, meth and other amphetamines, any drug use, and poly drug use, though alcohol use and marijuana did not increase significantly over time. And like I said, we could not examine racial differences here simply due to the low number of individuals in each of the cells. All right, so now I'm going to move into talking a little bit more about some of the multivariate analyses here. And like I mentioned before, all of these were conducted with hierarchical linear modeling. So in each one of the models, I controlled for a number of different demographic covariates, so specifically age of the participant and race of the participant. And we also controlled for a couple different sexual partnership characteristics as covariates that we've consistently found to predict unprotected sex in this and other samples. So sexual partner's gender and the number of previous sexual encounters that you've had with that partner. In these analyses, drinking prior to sex as the main effect was not found to be related to unprotected sex. However, there was a significant interaction for the age of the participant. And I'll walk you through a little bit of what that interaction looked like, because it's actually quite the opposite to what Brian presented in his analyses earlier. So this graph here is just an illustration of the main effect of alcohol use prior to sex on sexual risk, and you can see that there's no main effect for this variable. However, when you map out the slope specifically for individuals under the age of 21, you can see that there's a positive relationship between these two variables. Once you hit age 21, in this data, the relationship started to flatten out. And once individuals started to get into their late 20s and their 30s, there actually became a negative association or somewhat of a protective effect, even though I don't really like using the word protective effect when it comes to alcohol and drug use. Also want to point out that even though I didn't actually present these variables in this graph because it was just going to get really large and overwhelming, this model also adjusted for a number of other variables that we know to be related either to sexual risk behavior or alcohol use. So specifically, sensation seeking is a personality characteristic, baseline alcohol use, which was a quantity frequency variable, and alcohol use expectancies for how alcohol use is going to alter the sexual experience. So moving along to my model of drug use prior to sex and sexual risk, each one of these different variables was entered into the model simultaneously, so we're looking at a multivariate model here. And what you can see is that only some of the drug use variables predicted sexual risk in this sample. So there was marijuana use at the trend level increased odds of unprotected sex. And by far the largest effect in this sample was the effect of methamphetamine and other amphetamine use prior to sex. You can see that cocaine use and club drug use prior to sex had no effect on odds of unprotected sex. However, any drug use and poly drug use did increase odds of unprotected sex. And when I am presenting the poly drug use variable here, what I did was I actually looked at this as a count variable. So this is the event rate ratio rather than the odds ratio. So odds of unprotected sex increased by 51% for each additional drug that was used prior to that sexual encounter, and there was a range of 1 to 10, and I did include alcohol as one of those drugs. And to point out, age did not moderate any of these effects, and I looked at each one of these effects bivariately, so looking at the moderating effect in a bivariate model and then lumping them all together in the multivariate model, and age did not moderate any of the effects. So the effects of drug use prior to sex were pretty consistent across the developmental range of this sample. And again, this model adjusted for some of those same variables that I mentioned in the alcohol use model. As far as general conclusions, I did find evidence for developmental differences in the effects of alcohol use. However, this finding is opposite to some of the findings that Brian has published on in the past, as well as some of what he was talking about today. However, it is interesting to consider some of the differences between my sample and the longitudinal sample that Brian presented earlier. The vast majority of the partnerships that are reported in my sample are for casual partners because I filtered out individuals who were in monogamous relationships and were not going to be having sex with other people. I specifically did that because I wanted to maximize kind of the partner change throughout the course of the 3-month period. And as Brian presented earlier, if you restrict the longitudinal sample only to the casual sex encounters, then his effect flips as well. So what you see is that the younger people with casual partners are actually increasing their sexual risk behavior when they are drinking prior to sex. Again, there was no evidence for developmental differences in the effects of drug use. However, age was associated with increased drug use prior to sex. So even though the age didn't moderate those effects, drug use prior to sex is increasing as young people are getting into their 20s, and that obviously has an impact on their overall rates of sexual risk behavior. And just in terms of methodological considerations, thinking about some of the limitations of the study, obviously I had very low rates of drug use prior to sex in this sample. And it got me thinking about what would really need to occur, what kind of sample you would have to recruit in order to be able to look at some of these really nuanced effects of racial differences in, say, the effect of alcohol use on unprotected sex or drug use on unprotected sex. And you really are going to need to have a huge sample if you want to look at some of these more nuanced effects. And it wouldn't just be recruiting specifically for individuals who are using more drugs prior to sex, because then you can't compare them against the individuals who aren't using drugs prior to sex. So if we want to look at some of these more nuanced effects, it's going to take a very large group or cohort of men who have sex with men. And just as far as thank yous and funders, this actually came from my dissertation. So I want to thank all the members of my dissertation committee, NIMH for funding my education in this project, and the Chicago Center for AIDS Research. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Michael, Jeffrey, and Brian, for a wonderful symposium. I'm sorry, rather than cutting anyone off short, I know we're almost out of time now and aren't going to be able to ask questions, but I'm hoping our illustrious speakers can linger for a little while in the room and take some questions one-on-one. I'm seeing nods, so that's good. I also just want to mention that the discussion will continue. We have a session at 2:30 on HIV and men who have sex with men and men who have sex with both men and women. That's happening in room 301 down the hall. I actually have to run down there and upload my presentation. And then, again, one more time tonight, 7 to 9, Blue 747 Market, between 3rd and 4th, we're having our social and award ceremony. Hope to see you there. Again, thank you so much, though, for a wonderful panel, in particular, Brian, for you organizing this great group of talks. I think it's really, you did it, Michael? Okay, thank you, Michael. Sorry, Michael Newcomb, for arranging these. I think this was one of the best sessions I've seen in a long time, and certainly a lot of food for thought. Thank you.